Bubbles heaved herself up and over the rock ledge.
This way. We can't take any water from that stream. And there might be a spring up here they didn't notice.
You don't know for sure?
No. My favorite places were the Eastern Ravine, where I could watch the sunrise and my bramble.
They followed the dry creek bed upstream, careful not to step in any drying mud. Bubbles looked for any sign that the hunters had been there, but the few scuff marks could as well have been those of desperate prisoners. Her breath came short. It was hard to climb the steepening slope, and she realized they were close under the ridge. The creek bed turned suddenly, leading them into a narrow cleft roofed with trees. It closed around them, ferns draping the walls. Ahead, the cleft ended in a sheer wall hung with shaggy ferns and vines. At the foot of it, the ground seemed damp, but there was no spring.
Well, that's it. No water here.
Bubbles sat down. Her legs had suddenly given out, and her eyes burned, though she could not cry. Rafa crouched beside her.
We're hidden, at least, if we stay quiet and they don't find our trail. They can't come on us from behind.
Bubbles nodded, but could not speak past the lump of misery in her throat. She set her rifle carefully to one side, away from the damp spot, and pushed the knapsack straps off her shoulder.
We should eat something. We never did have breakfast.
Not without water. At least that's what the books say.
But at the mention of food, her stomach cramped and rumbled. She felt she could eat three meals at once.
We have some water. And what about tropical fruits and things? They have water in them.
No, I haven't seen any. It's the wrong season. Or the prisoners have eaten them. Something.
Bubbles leaned back against the ferny rock, careless of insects. Her eyes sagged shut.
Come on, you can't give up.
Bubbles did not open her eyes.
Oh, just let me rest. Just a little while.
She wasn't sure what she felt, except exhaustion and hunger. And right now, she didn't care if a whole troop of hunters came up the creek.
All right, but I'm not giving up. Although, a soft place to rest my aching back may be a good idea.
Ah! Bubbles opened her eyes. Rafa lay on her back, covered with ferns to the waist. She seemed to have fallen into the rock. The mass of ferns and vines had hung over some opening like a shaggy curtain. Bubbles grabbed her feet and pulled.
Are you all right? Do you need help?
Rafa undulated snake-like and slithered out on her back.
It's a wonder I didn't crack my skull.
What is it? A hollow or something?
A hollow? Yes, a cave.
A cave?
Yes, and I heard water dripping. Come on.
Rafa grabbed her knapsack and started to shove it through the curtain of ferns.
Wait! They'd know we'd went in.
Bubbles looked at the broken fronds of fern where she had been resting, the bruised moss. If someone came this way, and they probably would, they'd start looking harder. And they wouldn't miss a cave, she was sure.
We'll make it look like we rested here and then went somewhere else. Come on, shove your pack in and the rifles. It's the best chance we've seen yet.
Bubbles shrugged and complied. She didn't have any better idea, and if Rafa had found water inside the cave, surely it hadn't been poisoned. She hoped. Rafa went in with their things.
Plenty of room in here. Room for us and our gear. Looks like a good hiding place.
Rafaela crawled back out as Bubbles lifted the vines cautiously.
Now for disguise. A few footprints going in both directions, just in here where we got careless because we figured no one would have tracked us further back. We sat here and rested. That's the squashed ferns on your side. Actually, they may not know there are two of us, so why don't I make all the footprints?
Because we might both have left them somewhere else. If we were going to leave here, now which way would we go? Back up the ridge, I think. We came here looking for water, didn't find any, and started up to find a spring.
Together, they edged back out of the narrow cleft and cautiously made a few scuff marks up a steeper slope. Since they had been careful not to make prints on the way in, and didn't see any, they walked back normally. The hanging ferns and vines looked undisturbed, even after Rafa had been through twice. Rafa went first, and then Bubbles slid in backwards. They had left marks sliding in. It looked like someone had dragged bodies over the ground.
Oh, we need to do something about those.
She didn't try to see who it was or if they'd seen. She jerked backwards under the matted vines and tried not to breathe. Rafa's hand closed on her arm, almost as tightly as the night before. Had it been only one night? Although it was near midday, inside the cave she could see very little. The thick vines shut out nearly all the light, and it was cool and damp. She lay on level stone, thinly coated with damp mud. A cold drop hit the back of her neck, and she jumped.
We should get back from the opening, just in case they find it.
Let's try the night goggles.
Bubbles fished hers out and put them on. The nearer part of the cave appeared in shadowy blurs, with stabbing brilliance coming from the entrance. Several meters behind them, a black, level surface had to be the water they'd heard. To the left, the cave's inner wall dove directly into the water, but on the right, their flat ledge extended around a buttress and out of sight. Overhead, even the night goggles could not define the roof. When Bubbles reached up, she felt nothing. Slowly, Rafa got to her knees and crawled away to the right. Bubbles followed, backing up at first so that she could watch the entrance. She had never been one for caves. She had not expected that the light would fade so fast. She slipped the goggles up. The blackness pressed on her face as if it would invade her skull. Shuddering, she put the goggles back on and stared at the faint glow from the entrance as if to remember it forever.
They shot somebody.
George grabbed Ronnie's arm. Ronnie shook it off.
They shot at somebody. You don't know they hit anyone.
But the girls are up there. You know that.
Ronnie knew that. He could close his eyes and see Rafa's face, smell her hair.
They're in the ravine. They're in cover somewhere, and the hunters wouldn't shoot the girls right off.
He wished he hadn't said it. That thought was no better.
If Bubbles tried to fight, she's kind of wild sometimes.
Petrus said he sent one of the Prieves up to the high trail. Could have been that. And the hunter might have missed. And we can't even be sure where the shot came from.
Ronnie was sure enough. High on the ridge, south of them. That put it too close to the girls, entirely too close. The hunters were supposed to come this way and fall into the trap he and George had spent the afternoon constructing. They were just off one of the larger trails that angled up and over the gap between the main ridge and the outlying northern hill. Time had gone rubbery. He did not want to trust George's watch. His had not survived the crash. George's could have been damaged. He was aware that not trusting a watch was as silly and dangerous as not trusting the instruments in an aircraft. He knew he'd had a concussion. But time felt wrong. The glowing digits seemed to hang forever or race past. A vague irritation seized him. He had the concussion. He shouldn't be having to calm George. His shoulders twitched. He had thought during Petrus's briefing that he understood exactly where everyone would be, at least to start with. Now he found he could not remember who might be southward on the ridge or on the west side. He felt sick and sleepy both, and kept wanting to yawn.
We ought to go find out. That's got to be somewhere near them.
And if we go crashing up there, we'll just lead the hunters to them. Petrus said stay here, and we should stay here.
Oh, he's not even an officer.
But George didn't move. Ronnie stiffened in the midst of a yawn. Despite his fear, Ronnie grinned to himself. They'd been warned about that mistake. He'd done it himself, counting to himself as he tried to move stealthily. He'd put 4 or 5 or 3 steps into the same interval, thus making the sound as periodic as a pendulum. This person varied his pause intervals, but not the walking ones. Ronnie reached out to touch George in case he hadn't heard. The walker might come within reach if they were lucky. Ronnie's mind drifted. It had been an impossibly bad day, and it had started far too early. Yet he didn't feel as bad as he should. He knew that, and knew, in some distant corner of his mind, that it had something to do with the bump on his head. The long, hot afternoon after the girls left, when Petrus tried to figure out what to do with them, where to put them, when the others tested Petrus's command, wanting to kill them, wanting to leave them anywhere and get away safely themselves. It had been hell, but a hell from which he felt somewhat remote. As long as he didn't have to talk, as long as he didn't have to do anything, the others could do what they wanted.